Hello, you're on KPC Radio today. You're listening to Radio NLA, and today we have Matthew Hedge from NFLO Vikings team. And Matthew Hedge is a former professional American football player who played wide receiver for 6 regular seasons for the Minnesota Vikings and New York Jets and Jacksonville Jaguars. In 2002, Matthew Hedge was signed to the Oakland Raiders. Matthew shared he attended Mercyhurst College in Erie, Pennsylvania. He attended to Jefferson High School and played as a quarterback and was a member of a basketball team.
It's good to have you on the show, Matthew. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I think you guys have the wrong bio, but besides that, I'm great.
Hey, you know what? Then somebody's got to fix your Wikipedia page then, Coach.
Yeah, that's a little bit off.
Who do you talk to about that?
I don't know. Mr. Wikipedia Man? Who owns Wikipedia?
I don't know. Sure. Whenever I think Wikipedia, I'm thinking Edward Snowden, but he's on the wrong side of the circle. But it's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Joining Ismay. So what has your experience been like here at Pierce College, and why did you take this job at Pierce College, just wanting to coach there on the side, Coach?
It's been a great experience so far. You know, when you're in the middle of the season and you have some high expectations and high goals, it's, you don't want to really focus on the end result. So we're just right in the middle, so we're in the middle of just kind of getting better and continue to work the system, find out what type of team we have. And then once that stuff is, you know, has asserted itself, we'll kind of, you know, end up getting conference, you know, championship eyes on the banner, stuff like that. But as of right now, we're just trying to work and get better every single day.
What made you interested in becoming an NFL football player?
That goes back to when I was just a kid. I mean, I just love the sport. I love everything about it. If looking back now over the years, I can literally tell you a life lesson on every single football play. It's just something that's helped me grow as a person, as a son, as a brother, as a friend. You know, just football has put me in places and has had me seen things, from just a emotional and spiritual and physical point of view, all those things involved within the sport of football. I've kind of engulfed myself in throughout the sport, and now I'm to the point where, you know what, now it all starts to make sense as far as life lessons.
Now, as you mentioned before, and you know, we've talked during practice, I mean, you don't just coach the X's and O's, you don't just run plays,
mm-hmm.
but like you mentioned, you are a very, very philosophical person, and you don't just teach the game of football, but you teach mm-hmm. the game of life as well.
Yes.
What's been the biggest thing that you've been trying to get through to this 2015 Brahma squad this year in terms of helping them grow, not just as players, but as men?
You're 100% right. I try to teach life through the sport of football. And like as of right now, I'm trying to get them to understand it's when you get to the real world, you know, and real jobs, you can't show up late. You can't show up 30 seconds late. You know, you can't have your boss tell you something 10 different times to do it 10 different ways. You know, you're going to be replaceable at 90% of the jobs that you have. So if you don't do it right the first couple of times, they're going to replace you. And same thing in football. You can't go out there and run the wrong route. You can't go out there and miss a block and then say, okay, it's okay, or we've told you 10 times to do it this way and you keep doing it the wrong way. Eventually you're going to be replaced. And of course everybody's like, well, I just go do it right the next time. Well, sometimes in life, as we know, there is no next time. You get it right the first time, or you might not ever have another opportunity to get it right.
What steps did you take to become where you are today?
Ooh, tons of missteps, you know, tons of mistakes. But at the same time, I look back and say those are all the things I needed to do to learn from it. You know, it's like just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. You have to fail in order to know what success is. So I've took many, you know, different types of steps in the right direction, wrong direction. Fork in the road, you know, I go straight, you know, type of attitude. So, it's the steps are just part of the journey, part of the process. You have to just understand you can never take a wrong step.
Now, during your time in the NFL, you played with one of the best players
mm-hmm.
probably to ever be on the football field in Randy Moss, and you share a mm-hmm. close relationship with him
mm-hmm.
to this day. What's the thing that you share most with Randy Moss, and just with him and you, in terms of your development and the relationship that you guys have developed over the years, and the biggest thing that you learned from him while playing with him, opposite him, with the Minnesota Vikings and Dante Culpepper?
I think it's probably just the compassion to compete. You know, it's like the passion, not the compassion. The passion to compete. It's, you know, we're just kind of, we love doing anything we can compete with each other. As far as Madden, it might be playing basketball on the weekends, whatever we do. It's like he was probably the first person that ever wanted to win almost as much as me. And I had never seen that before. Everybody else is like, always had the attitude, well, it's okay to lose, or it's okay to lose this one. We've won 10 in a row, so it's okay to lose one. It's never okay. It's never okay to let somebody else get the best of you. It's never okay to say, okay, it's okay to be second. You know, and I think that's kind of where our common bond is. And, of course, through the sport of football, he loves football, I love football. We just love being around the sport, love being around kids, love the teaching aspect of football, love the teaching life through football aspect of it. So, you know, we definitely share a common bond there. But I think it all, of course, started from, you know, we were back in the day both on, you know, the Minnesota Vikings. It's not just, okay, we're on the Vikings, so we're friends. Because there's a lot of guys that run the Vikings that I don't talk to till today, but it was just like that, probably that the passion of the game, of the sport itself.
Have you ever been in any movies or episodes before?
Of course, yeah, that's a little side gig that I have. I have a movie TV production company out here in Los Angeles, so I do dabble a little bit in the entertainment industry, and we produce movies and, you know, do some on-camera stuff as well, and here and there, you know, but as of right now, in the middle of this football season, this is definitely my main focus, and it's hard to give anything else any energy. And then once December, January of next year comes, we'll actually be shooting another film.
Now, when I looked on your Wikipedia profile, which can be much to be desired, because some of that information might be wrong, but you're a football player, and then all of a sudden, you decided to pursue acting. Other athletes, of course, have pursued acting and have made a lot of money. What made you wanted to pursue acting and producing and filmmaking?
Oh, man, right? I told my mom this one day, and she was like, you always want to pick the stuff that seems to be impossible. I guess it's the challenge of it. It's the challenge of taking a piece of paper or 100 pieces of paper, being the script, and saying, you know, we can put this on a big screen and have, you know, thousands, hopefully, God willing, millions of people see it one day. And I think it's just the process. And the whole thing, it really reminds me of an NFL training camp, of putting this whole movie thing together. You build a team. Your director is the coach, your executive producers are the general managers and the pro personnel directors, and then you have your lead guy or girl, which is the quarterback, and then you have, you know, your moving pieces, your role players as far as your linemen and your defense, whatever you want to call it. So there's definitely a commonality there, and it's the team that you put together. And say, before you even know what the product is, you know by the team on how successful you can be. And I've kind of taken that exact life philosophy, you know, or philosophy for my life, and saying it's kind of the people around you and the team you build around me. And if you see my team, you'll understand why I can do some of the things that I do, because it's my team, not just because of me.
Tell us a little bit what you do as a football player.
I coach now. So, like I said, I retired years and years ago. So I'm coaching now. But as a football player, I think as an aspect of, like I said, just the training and the focus, and it was a year-round thing for me. I would take maybe 2 weeks off as a player, and then start to work out for the next season. And, you know, I was always on a great team. So we always were going deep in the playoffs. But I didn't take a month off and go to Hawaii and just relax. I just couldn't do it. You know, I just felt that I was already behind physically and mentally. And I didn't go to the big, you know, university. And I wasn't a top draft pick. So I felt like I could be cut any day. So that gave me a little chip on my shoulder. Like, you know, I have to outwork anybody. And even at the beginning of my career, the only reason I wanted to work out in Florida is because if you're in California, you wake up at 6-7 in the morning. The kids on the East Coast were up at, you know, 6-7 their time. They beat you by 3 hours. So I was like, the only reason I want to work out in Florida is because if I'm up at 5 a.m. and working out at 6, I know there's nobody else up that early working out as me, you know. And that was kind of the mentality that I took, you know, while I was playing football.
Now, a little bit more about your work ethic. I mean, you're a guy that basically went kind of off the radar a little bit until you finally reach the Vikings. Mm-hmm. What did you do to win over the coaching staff and to finally prove to everybody out there, despite not being one of the highly touted names out in the football world, that you were here to stay and then have the successful career that you had for 10-plus years?
Well, I guess at the time, I didn't know that. And I think that's the best thing for me. You know, you have a lot of these guys, first, second, third round picks, and they go to Alabama or Miami and Ohio State, and they're like, I've already made it. But to me, I didn't make it. And becoming a seventh round pick, I was like, I still didn't make it. Right, making the active roster, I still didn't make it. I was always had that thing like, I want more, I have to do better, I have to be better. And that was with me every day. And then I got to the point in my career, I'm like, it doesn't matter if I, you know, if I make the Pro Bowl this year, I want two Pro Bowls. If we win a championship this year, I want two championships. And that's kind of how it all started, as wanting more, not ever being satisfied with the situation you're in. And I think that's what's going on. A lot of these guys who are, you know, first round picks, and they're, you know, they're being given so much when they're at USC or UCLA, and then they're content with it. And they get to the NFL and they have to restart that engine. They have to restart that passion of knowing the whole world is out to get you. You know, the whole world is betting against you, and you have guys getting paid millions of dollars to stop you. And unless you have the right mindset, it's going to happen, you know, and that's what, because that's what they're getting paid to do.
Your story reminds me a little bit about Tom Brady, although Tom Brady has won four Super Bowls. I mean, that's just...
Is that, you know, so you're saying we're not on the same level?
No, that's cool. Not even. I mean, the thing about Tom Brady is that, you know, he's been fortunate enough to work with such a great organization like the New England Patriots.
Absolutely.
And you know what? He's just the right guy with the right mentality who's been put in the right situation with the right coaching staff to do some of the things that he's done. Do you kind of see yourself kind of like a Tom Brady? I mean, a guy that was a late pick, everybody that said he didn't have the arm strength, everybody that said that he wasn't quick enough. Five guys went before him, and then...
Here's the kicker. Yeah. It's I've been around hundreds of guys like Tom Brady and myself, but you guys don't see those guys. You guys see number one pick, media, you know, NFL Network or whatever these things are that put the guys who are highly touted or high draft picks coming out. But I've seen the guys who were free agents, special teamers, and they end up playing 8, 10, 12 years, having Pro Bowls, having Super Bowls. I've seen those guys. And that's, to me, is the difference of knowing those guys and not knowing the other side of it. Because when you're on the other side of a high round draft pick, I go top five, I'll play in the NFL as long as I want to. It doesn't happen like that. You know, the whole Jadeveon Clowneys of the world and the Reggie Bushes of the world, not saying they were, you know, taking anything away from their talent. Yeah, you were talented, but the expectations were so high, they've never seen the flip side of what the Tom Brady's or these 8, 10 year guys, special teamers, have seen. You've never seen that.
Yeah. And that's the marvelous thing that I love about the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was the NFL that you played in or whether it's today's NFL. I mean, you have got so many guys from so many different backgrounds who didn't necessarily have, you know, the greatest coaching staff, maybe not at a great school, but you know what? They worked their butt off, period. And all of a sudden, boom, here they are, you know, playing in the NFL. And the Seahawks, you know, their defense is a little bit like that. And I was also watching a documentary about Christian Okoye, now NFL pro.
Played
1 year at Azusa Pacific.
Of course. Here's the thing. It's like, I remember I was in growing up, you know, especially at, I went to Langston University in Oklahoma, a little small D2 school, right?
Yeah.
But we didn't have much as Pierce has right now. And as you know, it's a junior college. We don't have a lot of stuff. We don't have what UCLA and USC have. That's, you know, that's the facts. But we still have enough, because I didn't even have this much stuff. I didn't have close. I didn't have close to them this much coaching. I didn't have close to this much equipment. I didn't have close to a weight room like this. And if I can still make it, then of course anybody from Pierce, you can make it as well. And I'm going back to, I remember it's like my second, third year, and I'm in the locker room, and probably from like 12 to, you know, when I was 21, 22 years old, I was the oddball. I was the odd man out. I was always the guy who, why is Hatch do this? Why is Hatch always working out? Why is he always by himself? Why is he always on the field at midnight? Why is he out there running routes in the rain? And, you know, I was the oddball. And not until I got to an NFL locker room did I say, hey, this is where all the oddballs are. And if you're going to run with the crowd, you're going to run with the rest of everybody. Everybody doesn't make it. So you'd rather be outside of that circle more than inside of that circle. But some people, they'd rather be cool than be successful. Some people rather hang out more than be successful. Some people rather be in a fraternity more than be successful. That's just the reality of it. No disrespect to that. I didn't care about nothing except being successful in the lane that I was in.
How do you feel coaching as a staff at Calabasas High School?
That was fun. I had fun at Calabasas. I was kind of I was offensive coordinator 1 year, defensive coordinator 1 year. Christian Pierce was the head coach, and we were friends prior to that, so we had a good time. At that moment, we wouldn't have a lot of the talented kids around the area like they do now. And the conference was way crazier than and tough then. At that moment, man. We were playing like Westlake, St. Bonnie, and
Oaks Christian
first 4 out of 3 weeks. So we'd start out 0-4 like every single year. But it was a great experience and helped me kind of start to realize, you know, how the landscape of California football is.
Now, back to what you were saying in terms of being the oddball and, you know, not running with the crowd. I see a couple of guys on this Pierce team right now that are a little bit like that.
Mm-hmm.
The first person that comes to my mind, my opinion, and you know what, I could be wrong about this, but guy like Keyshawn Richards, mm-hmm. running back, not necessarily the biggest, not necessarily the fastest, but you know what, always with his coaches, mm-hmm. one of the hardest working players, and a guy that, you know, through these three games at 2-1 has really made an impact in your offense.
Mm-hmm.
Any players that you see that like that right now for Pierce College or anybody else?
We have tons of guys with potential, but I think that's where it starts and ends with potential. Only that person knows what they're doing when nobody else is watching. To come here and practice, that's one thing. It's 2 hours a day, big deal. You know, are you home getting, you're watching extra film? Are you working out extra? Are you mentally preparing yourself week in and week out? Are you physically preparing yourself? Are you eating right? All these things are happening 22 hours a day that we don't see these kids. So whoever's doing that, those are the ones that are going to be successful in this sport. It has nothing to do with, well, yeah, big, strong, fast, because there's tons of big, strong, fast guys. And, you know, there's tons of smaller guys who are quicker than some. Big deal. Who's going to outwork the next person? Who's going to outwork the next thousands of kids that want that scholarship? And until you decide that I'm going to be that one, then you're just another guy.
How do you feel when you were playing as the Oakland Raiders in 2002?
I was with Oakland for a short period of time. I hurt my shoulder that year, actually, so it wasn't a great experience for me. But, I learned a little bit about pretty much like the business side of football during that season, since I wasn't playing, and how kind of the NFL works as far as injuries and things of that sort. So, you know, it was okay. And Oakland at the time was, as an organization, wasn't like the Minnesota Vikings or New York Jets as an organization. It was a little bit different, so that took some getting used to. But like I said, they've kind of changed things around. They're going in the right direction right now. Reggie McKenzie up there and Jack Del Rio is the head coach. And I think they got an absolute gem in Amari Cooper. I think he'll be a 6 to 8 year All-Pro, you know, throughout his career, and probably one of the best players in this draft class. So I think they have definitely a bright future in Oakland.
Now, I want to know one thing. Since of course, I grew up watching you play football, mm-hmm. with Dante Culpepper,
mm-hmm.
with Randy Moss. I want to know, though, as a kid,
mm-hmm.
who is the team that you grew up watching and rooting for?
Pittsburgh
and
Steelers.
And who is your favorite player of all time and why?
I was the biggest Steelers fan growing up in Cleveland, Ohio. That didn't sit well, but that's why. I guess, like I said, I'm always going the opposite of the whole direction. And I not I really didn't have a number one football player, but Michael Jordan was my number one just athlete. And it had nothing to do with him playing basketball because, you know, I loved football. It was everything how he carried himself as a basketball player. It was everything how bad he wanted to win, how bad he wanted to dominate every single second of the game. And it just kills me now. You'll see, like San Antonio, they'll sit like all five starters, you know, for a game, or like LeBron will take a game off because of fatigue. I'm like, we didn't do this stuff back in the day. You know, it's like I couldn't wait to get to a pre-practice. I couldn't wait to get to practice. I couldn't wait to play in a game. And that stuff went all the way through my professional career, but I felt the same way in high school. I couldn't wait till after school to go to practice. And we have kids now, like, they can't go to practice, or they don't want to go to practice. They can't stand. I'm like, I don't get it. That's where you're sharpening your tool. That's where you're getting better. I mean, game day is a reward for practice. So, you know, at that point in time, I understood that in high school, and I'm trying to get them to understand that now as a college student athlete.
What does it take for these guys with inside themselves to not look at this game, not just, you know, with the craziness that, you know, goes on with community college football, mm-hmm. but getting these guys to realize that, hey, every Saturday I could be, you know, mowing people's lawns, I could be working as a busboy down in North Hollywood. Yeah. I could have some other oddball job, but on Saturday night
I get to live my dream,
the greatest game in the world.
I don't think they do understand, and that's what I'm trying to get them to understand. But if you take that feeling of accomplishment, of this is the best moment of my life, you don't, that feeling doesn't have to end. And I'm not talking about because it's football. I'm just saying if you put in the work to be successful, to do what you want to do in this life and follow the steps and proceed on whatever lane you want to be in for the next 50 years of your life, you can have that feeling every single day. Like, I wake up with that feeling every single day of having passion to live life to the fullest. It's not just because, well, I get to play football today. No, it's like I get to live life today. And that's what I'm trying to get these guys to understand. Yes, you get to play football on Saturday, but also have that same passion of, yes, it's Wednesday and I get to practice. I mean, if you have that, that'll carry on throughout your lifestyle. And yes, you should be wanting to wake up and go to the right job every day, not saying, oh gosh, I got to go to this job today. You know, like that's what life is about, being having that feeling of success and passion every single day of your life.
All right, Coach, we got 2 minutes left. I want to go back to the whole movie thing that you're doing. What's your favorite movie, and what is your favorite genre movie? What's your favorite genre to produce and to film? Are you a big action guy? Are you a romantic guy? Are you a comedy guy? What do you like to make movies about?
The truth. I love the truth. I love real stories. I don't want to do, well, he's a ghost in one, and then he jumps out of the closet and there's a green monster. I love the truth. I love when truth in movies, like a movie like Blow, Pursuit of Happiness. Monster with Charlize Theron. All these things, it's just there was a truth to certain moments in these people's lives where just things happen. They could have went one way, they went the other way, and this is the results of it. I just love the truth of life and seeing that kind of portrayed on camera as best way possible.
All right, so I think that is the show for today.
Yes.
Here, you want to sign us off? This is your show, Ismay?
This was SMG Radio with Matthew Hedge, and thank you for listening for KPC Radio.
LA Radio. Woo woo!